that? Every one. All right. The third question. Who has given me my ministry? Yeah. God, more specifically. Right. What does God really want from me? I'm just going to use like big words. Everything. Right? There's a lot of answers you could put there. But let's just go, He wants everything. Right? Will God ask me to do things I don't want to do? Okay, we're going to use real words, real big words. Absolutely. I don't know if you've experienced that yet, but yes, He will. Will God ask me to do things I love to do? Same answer. Absolutely. God is not up there going like, I'm going to make you do everything that you just don't like to do. Right? You're going to do a lot of stuff that you love to do. And you're going to do it with His anointing. It's beautiful. It's where your only place where you just know that you're in God's perfect will is finding out. And that's what we're going to talk about today. All right. Some foundational food for thought. Two of them we did last week and I added a few more. So I want to just kind of, what are we doing this for? What's going on? What's the bigger picture? Number one, if you're going to serve in ministry, last week I said this. The process of serving is never more important than the daily process of your relationship with God. I can't emphasize that enough. The process of doing work for God is never more important than your closet time. Right? We said that last week. I want to reemphasize that. That's got to be a foundation of service ministry. The work is never more important than the relationship with God. Okay? There's just no... That closet time is it. It's where everything comes. It's where He... Remember, what does the Bible say? He is the vine. And we've got to be connected to that vine. If we're not connected to that vine, then what are we connected to? So that's the key. Another thing. Success in your service ministry is not your responsibility. Success, failure, is really not our responsibility, and it's really not the goal. The goal is to be about your Father's business. The daily relationship, though, is totally your responsibility. And you can control that. The success or failure of ministry, a lot of people think that it's something, you're doing something for the Lord and it's failing, then, maybe God didn't want me to do that. Actually, God wanted you to go through it and fail so you could learn. You see? It's not always about wins and losses, right? It's about a heart committed to the relationship. Right, I've heard many, many testimonies of pastors saying, I started the work, I failed, and then all of a sudden God did something. You'll hear that story over and over. You'll hear it, you'll read it in the Bible over and over, right? Moses messed up a lot along his way. Paul, right? Searching God's will is a daily pursuit. And it begins and it ends with your personal relationship with God. Searching God's will for your life is a daily thing. It's the same thing as denying self. Those things are daily things. The battle, thank you, Eloy. The battle is daily. So last week I said, expect the battle to be daily. It's a daily battle. So, as you say, I want to be in service ministry. I want to answer the call that God has for me. You've got to accept the fact that you're in a daily battle. No matter what your age is, no matter how long you've been serving the Lord, it's a daily battle. Dealing with our stubborn will maybe the most is most important single factor in discerning the will of God. You cannot discern the will of God when you haven't surrendered your will. It's like a mental, when you surrendered and you said, okay, Lord, I'm willing to go where you take me, your eyes open. And you begin to see things the way God sees them. And so a lot of people never cross that bridge where they say, okay, Lord, whatever your will is, I'm willing to walk in it. And they can't see it. And they can't feel the peace and the joy because they want to do it their way. So there's no wiggle room here. Our stubborn will must die so that we can see and discern God's will. It's kind of like get out of the way so you can see, right? Get out of the way so that you can see what God's doing. The greatest obstacle to knowing God's plan for your life is the persistence of your own preferences. If you keep persisting that you want things your way to work out your way, and you want that's the way it's going to be, Lord, and you're going to come with me my way, that's going to be an obstacle to knowing His will. You won't get there. So no matter what, you know, teenagers, 20s, 30s, surrendering our own will is the way to find God's will for your life. Do not fit God into your life story. A lot of people try to do that. Do not fit God into your life story. Instead, surrender your life into God's story. That's a really important key too, that you have to know that it's not your story. It's not your life. I think somebody said that last week. It's not your life anymore. You're here today, you know, saying, okay, I'm dedicating myself, I'm committing myself. And I bet just by making that decision, that commitment, okay, we're going to learn, you're already seeing things a little differently. You're already, wow, I'm denying myself, you know, in a sense. And I'm, okay, Lord, you're starting to see things differently. And the more you do that, the more you want to fit into God's story. You want it to be His way, not your way. So, and the story that God has for you, I have there, it will be a masterpiece. Got to believe it. Got to take the step. Got to get into uncomfortable water sometimes, and walk down that path. All right. So everybody filled out a gauge, right? Everybody filled out a gauge. I think I need a Kleenex here. And I asked this question last week. Why is your gauge not at 100%? Anybody can take a stab at that answer. Why is your gauge, your enthusiasm, your commitment, your time, why is it not at 100%? Anybody? Fear. What's that? Fear. Fear? Well, that's part of it. Absolutely. What did we say last week was the answer? It's kind of not an absolute answer, but because we're still in the process of denying self. Why are you not at 100%? Because we're still in that process of figuring out denying our will, our self. Jesus says, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. We're in that process. And that's why the gauge is not there yet. Okay. All right. So we're going to lay two foundations here, two steps. Service ministry. Everyone's called. Everyone is called. Some of them people don't want to admit it. But you are called to be in ministry. You are called to serve. You are called to minister. You are called to impact the kingdom of God. All of that. You're called. And there's two statements that we're just building off of in answering that call. And they're there right there for you. And we already talked about it last week. Willing. What does it say? Willing to what? Right. Process of denying self. We did that last week, right? This week, we want to lay another layer. Because if you're service ministry, you don't just want to be like any other person. You want to be what God called you to be, right? First step into getting there is you got to be willing to go through this process of denying self. What exactly does that mean? It's actually different for every single one of you in a detail. Like, what does it mean to you? To you, it means something different than to you. Right. Yeah. What does it mean in a general sense? Individually for you, it means something else. Like, there's something that you need to deny that's specific to you. But in general, it means... What's that? Right? The carnal mind, which is worldly, carnal mind behind, because the carnal mind is what? An enemy to God. Remember last week I said, you have to understand that. You have to know that that's a fact. My carnal mind, even my good thoughts outside of God are enmity against God. That's not even a question. If you try to do good works and you don't have Jesus Christ as your foundation, it's as filthy rags, as the Bible says. And so, it's a surrender, a total surrender of our carnal mind. And that, you got to be willing. The reason why we say you got to be willing to go through the process is because it is a process. It's a lifelong process, actually. But you got to, once you said, I'm willing to do that, then all of a sudden you've opened something here. When you say, okay, Lord, I may not even understand what all that means yet, but I know your will is awesome, and I know that's what I want. So, okay, take me through the process, Lord. If you're able to just put that in your heart and your mind and say, yes, that's me, you're on your way to amazing service ministry with blessings and peace and joy. Everybody is looking for this. And they're trying to do it their way, and they're never going to find it. You see so many Christians that are in the wilderness and quicksand for all their Christian life because they haven't figured out this. Like, okay, Lord, my pride, God doesn't want to injure your pride. He wants to kill it. Flat out, just kill it. You see? And so that's why I'm so excited, is because we're, as the body of believers, like, okay, Lord, I want to take the next step, and I understand this. I'm willing to go through the process. What I like about saying it like this is that there's maybe some people that would teach it like, no, you got to get everything right now. It's a process, right? It's a process. And never makes excuses for sin. Never say it's okay. If sin is sin, and Jesus said, turn from it, run from it. But denying yourself, there's a lot of us sinning, and it's not cheating, lying, it's pride. It's stuff that is not visible. Right? So that's what that one was. Number two, willing to ask the question. This is what I want to challenge you about today. Are you willing to ask the question? Is it my will or is it God's will or my will. You're willing to have to go through this process. Okay, great. You're going to start seeing some things. Here's the next thing. Are you willing to ask in your decisions in life, are you willing to ask, is this God's will or my will in everything that you do? You cannot assume. Rose, you want to say something? Go ahead. And that's so true. Every one of us, if you're willing to ask yourself these questions, or is it God's will? Is it my will? What choice do I make? You're opening the door to an area that most people can't see because you're looking honestly in your heart. You cannot, let me go to that next line. You cannot assume God's will automatically come to pass in your life. That underline there is life. You cannot just wake up every day and just assume that God's will is just all of a sudden just going to start happening. Right? Just beautifully, just start happening. You can't assume that. So that's how you wake up every morning, knowing it's just not going to happen. So I must be, my favorite word, Jack Hafer word, you must be intentional. What does intentional mean? Anyway, definition? There must be purpose for what you're doing every day, right? There's got to be an intent. I'm willing to go through the process. I'm willing to ask, is this God's will or my will? Go through that process. If you have this mindset, you are setting up a beautiful foundation for God to do amazing things through you. What good is it to have all these gifts that we're going to talk about individually, when I do all your homework stuff, what is it to have all these gifts? And we're going to see them. Like, you have this gift, you have this gift. Okay. What good is it to have all that if we don't have the other foundation laid that we can see God clearly, His will, that we can see where He's leading us, guiding us? There's nothing there. So it all works together. So before we got to the actual, okay, what are you called to do? What are your strengths? Before we get there, it's so important that we lay these two foundations, two statements of you have to have this mindset. So let me read the next line. Once you realize you are the one responsible for discovering God's will for your life, the next step is to start seeking, fill in the blank there, seeking God for it. Once you realize that you are the one responsible. So who's the one that has to be intentional? You. You have to be intentional. Once you realize that, then your next step is to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to seek you. I'm willing to go through the process of denying myself, my carnal will. I'm willing to ask the question, is this God's will or my will? Wow. If you really get that sunk into your mind and your heart, you're gonna be like, you'll be surprised how clear God speaks to you in different ways. But He does. He's not trying to hide it. God is not trying to hide His will for your life. But you just can't see it if you're not denying self. You can't see it if you're not willing to ask the question, God, is this Your will or My will? You just won't be able to see it. Okay? So before we go, let me go to the next one before we go to the scriptures here. God is not hiding, is the next one, His will from you. He's not trying to hide. He's not playing games with you. Right? He really wants you to fulfill it. To fulfill His will for you. I'll do anything for God except fill in the blank. Ooh. I hope you can't fill in the blank. It was like a trick question. But think about this statement. Just think about what it means, right? I'm willing to do anything for You, God, except that. Some of you may be like, speak in front of people. Right? Talk to Moses about that. Didn't work. Right? Lord, I'm willing to do anything except that is not willing to go through the process of denying self. If you can put something here, you need to rethink your heart. Lord, I'll do anything except go to China. Lord, I'll do anything except go to... fill in the blank. Sing in front of people, right? And some of you, don't worry. That's not your calling anyway. Yeah, that was kind of an indirect slight. But you're missing the point if you're like, Lord, I'm going to never do that. Then I don't believe that's who I'm talking to today. And remember when that rich man came to Jesus? And he said, Lord, what do I do? I've done this, I've done that. And Jesus was depressed. Yeah. Now give up your money to the poor. Accept that. That's what he said. And what happened? You know what I believe would have happened if he would have done that? He would have got like 10 times more and blessed other people. Because that's God's word. Right? But he couldn't see it. Why? Because he wasn't willing to go through the process of denying self. You see, once you got it, you're like, okay, Lord, this is awesome. He'll lead you, He'll guide you through it. So, planting seed, yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah. Well, that's right on, because I think last week I read a scripture. If you look at the workbook from last week, we read a scripture about the seed has to die before it produces fruit. So it's right along with what you're saying is yes. Yes, it's your will's got to die. It's got to die, or else you won't produce. And there's different levels, right? People do produce a little bit, but we don't want to be settled for ordinary. We want all that God has for us, and He does have amazing things planned for us. He does. So great, I like that. It's planting seed for sure to die and to produce fruit. So I hope you don't put anything in that line. So maybe you want to put nothing there. Put nothing in that line, right? The word nothing. Nothing. And if you're saying, no, there's something, you need to go like pray about that really, really hard. Or come to the altar and say, God, cast it out of me. Because that's not surrendering to God's will. We cannot lose by yielding to God's will. You will not lose by yielding to God's will. Fill in the blank, will. You will not lose by yielding to God's will. What do I mean by that? God either gives us what we desire, or in due time, God plants new desires in our hearts. Let me explain that. Hearts is where, fill in the blank, their hearts. What this means here is that there are some things that as you start fulfilling God's will for your life, there are certain things you love to do that are going to fit right into that calling. And you're just going to blossom in that. And sometimes actually the things that you love are dangerous. Because you start putting the things that you love first. And you want God to fulfill your calling there. And one thing about God, He doesn't ever want to be second place. Ever. Never wants to be second place. When the thing that you love is first place, and it falls apart. But there are some things that God has planned for you that right now, if He told you, you just couldn't, like, no. No, I don't want that. But when you get there, it'll be like, yeah, this is my next step. See, He changes your heart. So when you go through the process of denying self, your actual desires change over time. And you won't even notice it. Because I know I've heard this from young people so many times when I used to be a youth leader. Oh, I don't want to serve God right now because I won't have any fun and I won't be able to do this and that. I'm like, you can't see it. Because you don't deny self, you won't be able to see it, right? So, let's turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Here's like, how do you know God's perfect will for your life? How do you know God's perfect will for life? Here's the perfect scripture. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What happens when you sacrifice something? What do you do? When you sacrifice something, what are you doing? You're offering it. And are you keeping some of it? When you're offering a sacrifice to God, you're totally giving it away. And see, denying self is about giving it away. Giving it away. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. As a Christian, it is reasonable to surrender everything to God. In other words, it should be normal for us to be able to surrender God. Why is it so hard for so many Christians to totally surrender their will to God's will? Not being perfect, not having it all down. You make mistakes, right? But saying, yes, Lord, I'm willing to go through this process. I'm willing to ask the question, is this God's will or my will? Why is that like a new thing? It should be who we are. In verse 2, how do you know God's will? Don't be conformed to this world. You've heard this scripture, I'm sure. Do not put the little, what do they call, blinders on? They put on the horses, right? Do not be conformed and look at this world as your sample. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How will you know God's perfect will? You've got to be willing to go through the process of denying self. That in itself is renewing your mind. Because the world doesn't think that way. The world doesn't think I'm going to put my will aside and say, God, your will be done. The world says, go after what makes you feel good, right? The world says, go be successful on your own. You know, I did it my way, right? The old Sinatra song. That's what the world teaches, but God teaches differently. Then when you begin to renew your mind, you'll be able to prove that which is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. See, when you begin to not be conformed to this world, to deny self, to be honest with your heart about God's will versus your will, when you begin to do that, people will know that you're in God's will. You don't have to put a sign, I'm in God's will, look at me, I'm on this journey, everything's awesome. You won't have to wear a sign. It would just be you. You would just be a man, a respected man or woman of God. And people will know. And when you're doing the fake thing where you're like telling people everything's awesome and that God's telling you this and you're doing that and everything, and you're not having all this daily walk with Him, denying self, and you're not doing that, it's kind of just a show, everybody will know. It'll come out. It'll come out. So it is renewing of your mind that is needed to be in God's will, because your carnal mind will not. Your carnal mind will never be in God's will. All right? One more thought about that. Don't compare yourselves to others. When you're going through this journey, do not, and I have a few lines there, you can put that in one of the lines. Do not compare yourself to others. This is so important as Christians. Especially you younger ones that are here, younger Christians. Do not compare yourself to your brothers, to your sisters, to your parents, to your leaders, and to your pastor. Don't compare yourself to them. Now, you may honor them and get counsel from them that are mature in spirit and get counsel, but don't compare yourself to them, because your journey is a unique journey. And sometimes when we start comparing ourselves to other people, we limit ourselves. We're like, well, I'm not as bad as that person, so I'm doing pretty good. Right? Yeah, they're worse than I am. I'm doing pretty good. And then there's the other thing where like, well, I can't compete with that. So don't compare yourself to other people. That will limit your service ministry. If you compare yourself to other people, that will limit your service ministry. Now, what if your parents don't, you know, serve the Lord? They love God, but God's, you know, that they want you to do better than they did. Parents, they'll be so proud, more proud of you if you. They don't want you to be them. They want you to worship the Lord and serve the Lord better. So Psalms 37, verse 4. Psalms 37, verse 4. Psalms 37, verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Some of you need to underline this one or star this one. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You know, God wants to so much to just give you the desires of your heart. Not the carnal ones. Now, this is important. Not the carnal sinful desires, but the desires that you don't even know that you're looking for. The desires to do what you were created to do. And you're going to, You're gonna do amazing things that you love to do. It's not gonna be boring. It's gonna be powerful. And that's who God is. And that's what He wants for you. And I put there, God will actually let you do really cool things that you actually love to do. The desires of your heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He's going to let you do a lot of cool things that you love to do. I think that's a promise. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Just a few pages over, for me anyway. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on whose understanding? Your understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, He shall direct the path. That goes right along. He will direct your path if you forget your own ways. Right? But if you want to lean on your understanding, guess what's going to happen? You won't be able to see. So the key to service ministry, to doing it empowered by the Holy Spirit, the key to all of that, denying self, your own way, your own thought process, and being willing to go through the process of letting God do amazing things. Okay? So, in these scriptures, it just confirms that God wants to do amazing things that you love. He wants to do all of this. He's ready. Are you ready? So how do you know if you're doing God's will? How do you know if you're doing God's will? Three ways to know. And I do believe in these three ways here. The door that God opens will never contradict His word. And seeking counsel is very important too. When you have any doubt, ask your pastor, ask a leader. But it won't contradict God's word. Because there's a lot of good ideas that you have. Okay, God, is this your will for me to do this? Well, take an extreme example. You get married and have a child. And I think we read this the other day with Amy Simple McPherson, the founder of Foursquare, that she was going across the country, and then when time came that she really needed to spend time with her child, you know, she felt then it was time to stop going back and forth across the country and establish a home, right? So that kind of goes with God's will, with His word, right? Because your responsibility as parents is to raise the child the way it should go. What would happen if the child was at that age where they really needed you and all you were doing was traveling, as you know. God's telling me to go right now and I'm going to leave my 6-year-old at home for months and months. It doesn't add up, does it? And you can think of more and more examples like that. Like, wait, that doesn't make sense. Right? I don't believe. You know, here's another example, and this is more like my opinion, so I'm not saying this is all, but I believe this is a good way to live life. And I believe it's scriptural too, as far as getting into debt and things like that. I don't believe in getting into debt. And before I say any more, I got into real bad debt for like the first 10 years of my marriage, really bad. So it took me 10 years to get out of it. But I don't believe that God wants us to get in debt because it traps you. Confines you. So I'm going to step on some toes here. But remember, the goal is about this. It's not about your pride right now, right? So when I step on your toes, remember this. Denying self. Sir, I have a decision to make. I want to get this. I want to get that. I want to get that. But you're getting into deeper and deeper debt. Uh-oh. God's will versus my will. Ooh. Lord, help me now, right? You see, it's not just words. It's deeds. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, some of you have that doesn't mean, oh, pastor said I'm in sin. And no. See, it's about the process. So if you're in a situation now, you know, you don't beat yourself up. It's like, I need to get into the process of denying. So now you just come up with a plan to get line up with God's word. It doesn't happen overnight. It took me 10 years. And it was bothering me. You know, I told Alyssa, and believe me, there was a lot of arguments. And you all know how that goes, right? But it just bothered me. It's just not right. It just bothered me. So that's an example, a real life example. Now we're hitting, what is this all about? You know, decisions I make. Does God really want me to get in debt, in that much debt? I don't read it that way. Right? So, I want to hear any of the comments on that one. You guys are real quiet now. Thoughts and comments about that? Anybody that has experience with this? Rose. That's an example of you trying to get God to be part of your story. Right? Instead of what is your will, Lord? Yeah. I like that. That's a good way to put it. Amen. Thank you. So, God's will versus your will. Are you willing to ask the question? Now that I gave you that like financial example, are you willing to ask the question, is this God's will or my will? The door God opens will be accompanied by confirmation. God is a God of confirmation. You're not going to one day like, oh, it's time to move. Okay, go. Okay. Your wife's caught by surprise. Your husband's caught. Everybody's caught by surprise. This is God's will. Let's go. That is not the way God works. Right? I don't know. I mean, that's just, you don't see a lot of example. God usually sets things in motion, as Rose was kind of saying. Set things in motion and opens doors and then, okay. You walk through them. You know, the Red Sea is a perfect example of He sets things in motion and confirms things. When God told Moses, you're going to go to Egypt and you're going to free them. God set something in motion. And Moses had to act on it. And there was confirmation along the way. So when he was told that he was going to free the people, the first confirmation that he was on the right path was that, you know, the staff turned into serpent and God was with them. And the plagues came. That was confirmation. Okay, this is still the plan. And then the Red Sea happened. And uh-oh, maybe this wasn't the plan. But no, it opened. They walked. It's still the plan. See how he confirmed every step of the way? Now, if God would have told Moses, go to Egypt, get the people out, and I'm going to take you to the Red Sea, and I'm going to open it at the very beginning, I think Moses would have gone, no, I don't know about that one. But while he was there, he had no doubt. Because it was confirmation, right, along the way. God is a God of confirmation. And that's how you know you're in His will. He's confirming it. You know, like a lot of school kids we have to make a decision on the next step of college, of this, of that. Are you willing to ask, is this God's will or my will? A lot of times the kid's will is to get out of the house, right? Maybe that's sometimes the case that God wants, but But ask the question, is this God's will, my will? All right. Number three, the door God opens will require you to depend on Him. You see, when you make a decision and you got this, you don't need God. God's not in it. Think about that. When you make a decision on your own, it's not a bad, evil decision. It's just a decision. But you are confident you got this, and you're not even praying about it, and you just, I've got it, then God's not in it. God's not in it because you're not talking to Him about it. You're not asking the question. You're just doing it on your own. You don't need faith in God because you know how to do that. So you're just going to do it. Comes natural to you. God wants, never wants to be number two. Right? And when you begin to do things on your own because you're good at it, without God, He's number two. That's not scriptural. So, the decisions you make, you're going to need to depend on God. Talk to anybody who's in ministry, in leadership, about doing all of this. Heavily dependent on God. Because no one can run a church on their own. They can in the flesh, but it won't succeed. You know, I said the story about Francis Chan, that he shared it at the Four Square Conference one time. He's a gifted speaker. He could speak to 10,000 people, and he like doesn't like. It's natural to him. He doesn't even need God's help. One day, God convicted him, and said, "I don't want you speaking like that anymore. That's not. I want you to stop running that church, 10,000 seat church, right, people, and I want you to go to San Francisco, and start walking the streets and get yourself a little uncomfortable in street ministry." Wow. Because he was so good at it. And yes, it looked good to everybody, right? Awesome. He speaks great. We all felt good. God's will versus His will. It just came so natural to him that he didn't really need God. He prayed. He read his Bible. But he just could do it. Could speak. Don't you wish you had that kind of talent? I definitely don't have that. I'm definitely depending on God every step of the way. And that's how you know. All right. The cold, hard facts about following God's will. Turn to the back page. And I'm going to go through this pretty quickly. God wants all rights to your total person, but He won't take it by force. He wants all of you, but He will not take it by force. You must offer it freely. That's what denying self is all about. You must offer it freely. Are you willing to just say, "Lord, take it. Whatever it is, Lord, I'm willing to do it. I may not understand it. I may not even like it right now. But Lord, if it's you, it's good. I'm going to do it." God is interested in the absence of your stubborn self-will and your genuine interest to do His bidding. He wants you to die to self. Your stubborn self-will needs to be absent. And you need to genuinely be interested in doing His bidding. Are you really, really, right now, are you really interested that your life is going to be at the service of the kingdom? Your life is going to be serving the kingdom. Is that really your genuine passion? I believe it is. I believe that's why you're here. I believe you got that. There is no one else who can achieve completely what God has purposely created you to do. No one else can do what you're called to do. Nobody else. It's yours. Your special gift, your special prayer, your special testimony, your special prayer on somebody that's going to lead them to Christ. Your message, it's yours. It's yours. It's yours. Cherish that. No one else can do what you've been called to do. Knowing God's will is difficult because it requires patience. Patience. Oh, this one's so true. It requires patience. Hebrews 10:36. I'm going to have to write that word down because it's so important. You go through a little series like this, like we're going to go through and say, yes, I'm dedicating, I'm sacrificing my time, I'm denying self right now. And yes, it's, and you're going to feel the difference in your heart, in your life. Okay, you're going to see something different. But I guarantee you, not too much longer after we go through this workshop, like, really, Lord? I got to go through this now, wait for this, or go through that? What happened to this beautiful calling and my heart being fulfilling the desires of my heart? What happened to all that beautiful stuff that we read at the workshop? Oh, patience. 10:36. Let me read that. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. It's all going to happen. Don't ever doubt. It will happen. All right? When I say it will happen, what comes to mind? What will happen? God's will for your life. What else? Answers to prayer, the blessings, the change of your heart, obedience, all this stuff, it's going to happen. Don't get weary. I mean, life is going to throw you a lot of stuff. Young people, life is going to throw you a lot of stuff. Don't ever doubt through all of the trials you're going to go through, the heartaches, all of that stuff. It's going to be thrown at you, but it doesn't matter. Because if you're willing to go through the process of denying self, if you're willing to ask the question, is this God's will or my will, then you are set for a beautiful masterpiece service ministry. And God's going to lead you through that. It's exciting. It's exciting. God's going to lead you through that. Every decision you make is a fork in the road. You're either worshiping yourself or worshiping God. You can look like you're serving from the outside, but inside you are serving self. Don't, just because you see someone in ministry and leadership positions or whatever, don't think of anyone more highly than the other. God does that, right? You humble yourself, God does the lifting up. When people honor people, respect people, elders, pastors, and all of that, yes. But don't look at them as if they got it all perfect now. No. Nobody does. God may call us to do things that don't feel natural at first, but as we listen and respond to the call of God, your passion and love to do His will grow and grow and grow. After all, it will be what you were created to do. It's not all going to be comfortable. When you begin to answer God's will and say, okay, is this your will? Don't decide whether, let me say it this way. Don't decide if it's God's will or your will by how comfortable you feel. You need to step out of the boat, right? And 2 weeks ago, Rose gave a word about stepping out into the river and it'd be uncomfortable, right? I think that was really from the Lord because it's not about comfort. It's not about what you want. It's about what God has created you to do. Joseph was not comfortable at all in prison. He was not comfortable in the well. And I always say well, however you say that. So comfort is not the indicator of God's will. I think we human beings think that comfort is supposed to be the indicator. Oh, that feels so right. I love that. No, it's about the kingdom, right? All right. As long as you can live without knowing God's will in your life, you will. The reason I put this here is if you are satisfied and can live without doing God's will, then you'll do your own will. I wanted to say that so everyone in this place could be, I am not satisfied. I am not satisfied with not answering the call. I am not satisfied with any of that. I don't want any of that. You have God-given gifts and talents. You don't even know they exist yet. That is so true. Remember the parable of the talents. When they used their talents and they brought it back, He gave them more talents. But they didn't know they had those more, but God gave them to them. Begin to do the service ministry. Begin to do whatever you can and ask God for His will. He'll start adding things to you. Right? I can tell you that, you know, I didn't have much when I was a teenager. I didn't know what God had planned, and He kept adding and adding and adding. I learned things in management. I learned things here. I learned things there. He kept adding. God's perfect will is worth finding. Supernatural peace and joy. You know what everybody is searching for? Is supernatural peace and joy. That's what everybody's looking for, but they do not know how to get there. But you know how to get there. You know how to get there. Right? Do you know how to get there? I hope so. Service ministry. Let's just do a little foundational chart here. Like, right? This is your relationship with Jesus. I didn't do that very well, but you know what I mean. And what we're building on top of that, we're building willingness to deny, to go through the process, and willingness to ask God's will, my will. Everything that you're looking for supernatural peace, for supernatural joy in life, which everyone's looking for, here it is. Your relationship, and then willing to deny self, and willing to ask God. If you start building this right here is going to be out of this world. Supernatural. I hope you can see this in your life. I hope young people, 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, if you get this while you're young, you're going to be so much, enjoy so much joy and peace, even in hard times, even in trial. If you got this foundation, if you're willing to deny self, if you were willing to do this, you're finding the secret that many people are looking for. It's just going through the process. But, you know, the hard part is taking what you're learning and applying it to your real life. The Bible says, if you need wisdom, ask. I can't sit here and tell you, this is what you need to do. This is how you apply it. I gave you a foundation. You have to ask God for wisdom to apply it. The financial was a perfect example. I need to apply what I heard, give myself wisdom, and start making decisions that line up with His Word. Okay? So in conclusion, the last thing, seek godly input from spiritual mature Christians. That's important. Don't hesitate to ask people that you trust that are mature. Right? Not everybody who says they're mature are mature, but you find somebody you trust. That's what pastors are for, or some leaders that you trust. Seek godly input from spiritual mature Christians. So in conclusion, now that you have taken two important steps, you're willing to deny yourself, you're willing to ask the question. The next step that we're going to go through is identify your potential gifts and talents and begin to be intentional about using them. So next week, we've laid this foundation. Next week, we're going to start here. We're going to start right here. I'm going to write this on the board, And we're going to say, we got this. And then I'm going to look through all your stuff. I'm going to do the hard work like a teacher of grading. Not grading, scoring. And I'm going to give you results that show you what this questionnaire, if you answered honestly, I hope, don't answer what you think the pastor wants to see, by the way. Answer honestly. That was the intent. But then we want to put this and say, okay, now how do I apply this to the talents and gifts that I have? And that I want to connect those two things. So next week is going to be more of a, look at your score, look at where you're strong, and we're going to go through, okay, how do I apply this in my life?